wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, and off we go. We got a nice show for you this morning because we got a win. How about that win last night?
I'm all right, that train. Play all your old songs from the 90s when Houston used to punk Utah before they traded Robert Horry and right. Sam, and then we started getting punked. Yeah. Before the Barkley stuff,
Eddie
and
Johnson,
then we started getting.
Yeah, before that stuff.
Before that started,
yeah, the John Stockton shot before that one, yeah.
But before that,
right?
They were our. Can we say the Pujo?
No, no. Biaz, you can say Biaz.
Well, we can't say Pujo.
No, you can't say. No.
All right. Well, they were again yesterday.
That's totally wrong with an O on the end. Totally wrong.
It is
Pujo.
Oh yeah. I got you. Feminina.
Right.
Feminina. Yeah.
Off to a good start.
Sometimes we have some Spanish bad word discussions here. So they were that again.
Marty's not listening.
They were that again yesterday as the Rockets went in. And I tell you what, that was a game where in the fourth quarter, they're sitting there with a 7-point lead. And I'm thinking, okay, this is where you'll check back in. And it's, you know, if you go away and check back, the Rockets are down 2. That's what you think. They're up 7. It'll be Jazz 2 within 3 minutes, and the Jazz will finish off the Rockets by 6.
Nope. Well, nope. And I'll tell you a big reason, and who's been doing it.
I know who you're going to say.
Again with a big shot.
I know, and he shot the ball well in general.
Yeah. Kevin Porter Jr., holy crap. He's
is gonna
not
get you a
afraid.
One. He is going to get you a first.
No, he's not. He's going to be your guy.
No.
Oh, really? How about 8-1? How does 8-1 sound to you?
That's great. John's talking about his assist to turnover.
Right.
That's great. That's the literally the outlier of the whole year. Well, I don't know why you're pointing out just that one.
What if he's all of a sudden?
He's
turned,
a talented player.
A corner.
He's a wildly erratic.
Is a good word. Wildly.
He's a wildly erratic talent and personality. I don't think he's going to be long for the Houston Rockets, a long term guy.
Says you.
But right now, I mean, in the quest for 28 wins, this is a big, big win for the Rockets.
Wait, why? What is a quest for? I didn't realize that this is the season for 28 wins.
It's hashtag quest.
Is that what the season recap of is going to be?
All I know
the quest for 28?
Rocket fans are all doing hashtag quest for 28. I don't know what that means.
Someone is doing that because the under-over on the season total was 27.5.
I don't know what hashtag quest for 28 means. Who knows what that means?
I think it means somebody has a bet on 28 wins this season.
It seems unlikely after that losing streak, and yet here we are in striking distance.
Still unlikely. Still unlikely is what it
seems. I mean, you're a little bit past the halfway mark. I get that.
Yeah.
But you also had a 15-game losing streak in there, so 7-game win streak.
Didn't you go 8 of 10 at 1.2? Can you do that again? And you got Golden State coming up. How about that? That's an easy game.
Well, I mean, do they want some too?
Yeah, they're going to
Because
get
Utah's
some.
Been one of the winningest teams in the Western Conference the last 4 years. Does Golden State want some too?
Well,
because they can get it too if they need it.
Is Steph out? Is Clay out again? Because Mitchell wasn't there.
Give it time.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't there, so that makes it a little
bit
of a difference.
And we were missing, you know, people too.
Who? Even Alperin's
back. John Wall wasn't playing.
Well, John Wall never played.
John Wall didn't play.
I don't know if you heard, he's getting $47 million to not play.
Give it time.
Clay or 44 might, and 47
unfortunately,
next year.
Unfortunately,
Clay, got that
Clay
extra,
might be out.
Give
it time.
Good thing John Wall's getting that extra $3 million next year. Earning that $47 next year, boy.
I know.
He is that's something. So they got the win, and that was awesome. Now, it's a little concern. Well, I don't know. Jalen Green just 23 minutes. Alperen Şengün just 16. You know, I know that it's important. And by the way, Jalen Green was not good. I mean, he was on the floor, they were minus 14. He was just 3 of 13 shooting. Boy, did they shoot the lights out. Tate, 3 of 7. Christian Wood, 3 of 6.
Tayshaun got off to a great start,
Eric Gordon, 3 of 4. Porter, 3 of 6. Matthews, 5 of 9. Brooks, 3 for 5. They shot 49% from 3. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And that was
so you're going to put some respect on it now?
Well, I'm going to – I mean, this is – listen, but they only shot 42.7 from 2.
Holler at your boy Gary Bird, though, with leading the team in scoring. He's gotten kind of quiet as teams have game planned for him. But all of a sudden, he came out bombing yesterday and was a huge, huge piece in that win.
Listen, I sat up close, I mean, right off of their bench against Minnesota. That dude is an emotional guy.
Yeah.
He ain't afraid to go after a ref. He was on the bench hitting the chair.
Well, I don't love pissed off. Hold on, is his nickname Snacks Bird? Because I've got the same kid at my house.
I'm telling you.
Going after refs, hitting chairs, emotional. Like, I've seen this before.
No. Gary Bird, a much better shooter than Snacks. Yeah. Gary Bird is a guy who will fly off the handle. Trust me, dude.
You make it sound like that. So you're just saying it as a statement of fact,
right? Well,
not that it's a good thing.
Watch him on the court.
No, he is emotional, and you see him. You see what he's able to do, and what he's willing to do when he is in the game, challenging people physically, emotionally, defensively. Like, he's not just one of these catch and shoot type of. He's not just a spot up shooter.
No,
he really isn't. He's a pretty good athlete. From David Lipscomb, a little bit of a shocker, but he is a pretty good athlete, and he is. Yeah, you're right. He's got a little edge to him.
A lot of edge.
He does have a little edge to him,
and he's all tatted up. He's got Jesus on his shoulder.
Just trying to get right.
He's trying to get right. I got nothing against that.
That's David Lipscomb. That's a Christian school college that he went to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he got
He's in Nashville.
Well, I didn't know that he learned it there or whatever, but I do know that dude can shoot when he shoots. I wish Bogdanovich would take one more shot because holy crap, that dude he don't matter where he is.
Nah.
He's gonna throw it up.
He was taking some turnaround jumpers that this doesn't seem like the best shot you could get.
Well,
you know what it was? Donovan Mitchell's out, so Spida's out, and so he's like, all his shots. I called dibs on all of his shots. I got all of his shots.
He did.
You don't get them all, Boggy.
And how about Daniel House, a little revenge? No, sorry, Daniel House. No revenge for you today because the Rockets took care of that business. All right, 11 minutes. Sit down, Daniel. All right. You were going to get something. You were going to extract some revenge on your former team. Nah. You know what? Probably doing stuff at halftime with somebody. That's probably what you were doing because you can't control yourself. Anyway.
Goodness.
Well, he did. We couldn't, could he?
Yeah, whatever. You can't control yourself, dummy. you got a personal vendetta against Daniel House.
Well, he ruined the playoffs a couple of years ago in the bubble.
We weren't going to win.
The Rockets were going to win it
all.
You
see what Lou Dort did to us in a Game 7?
The Rockets were going to win it all.
I think it was a Game 5 back then.
Oh, my God. Did you see that? Jokic took like 6 steps to the rim.
Well, don't foul him.
Oh my! Well, they fouled him, and he took off from the 3-point line without dribbling and made it. Okay. Anyway, 713-780-3776. What about your Rockets last night? That was fun. All right, they shot the lights out from 3. They actually assist. How about 24-8 assist the turnovers? 8-1 for Kevin Porter. Rebounds. They had 44. They got out rebounded 49-44. But at least they didn't get killed on the boards against a team that's just bigger. You had Rudolph Gobert in there, and you took care of your business. Nice job by your Rockets last night. It's always good to beat the Jazz. I don't think there's any question about that. That's just fun. Although they didn't have Donovan Mitchell last night, which is I don't know that the Rockets are. We can say right at this point, this is a better organization and a better team.
Right.
But
I don't care. It's a good win, and you were the underdog. I mean, it was a good win.
Oh, big underdog.
In Utah. And you know, the Rockets, of their 32 losses, 23 have come consecutively. They've got a 15 and an 8-game losing streak inside there. So 23 of your losses have come consecutively. I don't know what that means, but I'm just here to tell you they are 10-16 since December. Not terrible since December, and that's in the middle of their win streak. I don't even get a count. All of those wins. If I did count all of those wins, then it would go 1, 2, 3. It would be 13-16 since their win streak started. 13-16. That's not bad at all.
Not considering where they're at. Not concerned.
No.
Yeah. So, no.
But Kevin Porter Jr. has been, I tell you, Jalen Green was the first one to really benefit. When he came back, he looked like a different player. We're starting to see erratic shooting from him again. But Kevin Porter Jr. has been really, he's really playing a much different brand of basketball offensively. The defense is not great for the Rockets. They have some players who will defend a little bit, and then they have, unfortunately, out front, they're not going to defend a whole lot. That is what it is. But, you know, you don't have a bar. You don't have much of a bar. You know what my bar is? I want to see you flash. I want to see you get some wins that we don't expect, which is what we had yesterday. I want to see stuff like I saw yesterday. Guys who give you hope. Some guys shooting a three. It is ironic that this team, with Morey gone, Mr. Three is greater than two, they have better shooters on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, they're a better shooting team now that Daryl is gone. That's a little unusual to me for a guy
coveted the three, never got three-point shooters.
Never went and got a guy like Gary Bird.
No.
Like, why are you – this is that's exactly what the you kind want. Of guy you should have been getting.
All right, 7-Eleven, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We've got Roosh Williams going to join us at 8:30 here on the show to talk about this Rockets team.
We got a lot of
stuff to talk about. Some Texans stuff. Former Texan blasting him. But when we come back, Carlos Correa, Mark Berman was able to catch up with Scott Boras. And we got some sound from that we'll hear from him, courtesy of Mark Berman and Channel 26. So we'll do that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, Maestro.
Let's talk about the tequila. I busted out the Añejo that I have in my office. And yesterday afternoon, I had Tyler, our assistant program director, was up here, and he got out. I said, hey, you want a little sip of this? And he goes, yeah. He goes to his right-hand drawer, and out comes a snifter. He's got a snifter just sitting there waiting. And I poured him some tequila. I poured Brandon some tequila, and the Añejo was just absolutely brilliant. They both raved about it. Tyler's like, oh, my gosh, this is the smoothest thing I've ever tasted. This doesn't even taste like it would be a tequila, yet it is. There's different varietals that Maestro Dobel makes that no matter what your flavor profile is, if you want something crisp, if you want something smooth, if you're looking for something smoky, they've got it for you. The Jumito is their smoked silver. You've got the Añejo and the Reposado, which have a little smoke in them as well, but a smoothness. And, of course, the silver is absolutely fantastic. And the Diamante is charcoal filtered and gives you a new varietal that many people don't even produce. 11 generations of tequila makers, can't be wrong. They do it right. And Maestro Dobel is your opportunity to sample it for yourself. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you can find Maestro Dobel.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 7:15, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As I understand it, the Scott Boras presentation is second to none. I got some insight into what went down, and you want to talk about a guy who is prepared, a guy who is impressive, a guy who gives it his all every single – it's no wonder that these guys all want to be represented by this guy, and he blows a lot of smoke. So so the thought is there was a report out this morning that Carlos Correa, apparently the offer – he wouldn't accept less than $330 million. Before the lockup, 330 to 350. He wants to be paid more than Lindor. He wants to, you know, he saw the Corey Seager, the 325, and he's supposed to be the highest paid. And, oh, you know what, rightfully
he's
so.
He's not going to want to make less than Corey Seager.
No.
That's a non-starter. So you got to have, so frankly, Boras, this is really the best move for Carlos if he wants to get the most money possible. Boras is the guy. Because Boras is more likely to manipulate a team into getting in the running. He's got to have two teams.
Right.
He's got to have two teams.
Well, according to him, there are plenty of teams. Here's Scott Boras, courtesy of Mark Berman.
Imagine that.
It just fits. It fits all organizations. Because we've seen organizations that are in development mode go out and get players like that. And we've seen organizations that want to sustain championship levels, you know, like you would expect in Houston. And then we've seen organizations that are close but not quite there go get these types of players. So they really have a substantial benefit to all types of organizations because, frankly, when you're in this game and you're an owner, it's always good business to have the rarity of players.
Yeah. Now, you also have to have the money, okay? That's kind of a key as well. You have to be one of the – let's face it. It's going to take one of the top teams that spend money, biggest markets. Yeah, he's not going – there's, you know, he's not going to the Twins. He's not going to the – you know, yeah, probably the Reds. No, the Reds have spent money in the past. They spend money on their rotation. Now, that you got to probably get rid of some of those guys right now. That was a question. That's a question this offseason. Are they going to have to trade away some of that pitching? But Carl, there are a limited number of teams. Now, there's one team in particular that we care about, and where are they? Where are the Astros in this?
Well,
deal?
Where I think he fits in is that there are always owners who are ready to make the best business decision, one they'll always remember. And I can think back in my history of the game of doing things that there were times that they didn't know what they were thinking initially. And as time went on, they realized that I don't get a chance to make decisions like this maybe in my ownership history or maybe in a decade, and that I want to exercise every opportunity to acquire something that I know may not be available.
Yeah, there's that. There's also the buyer's remorse of spending 10 years, $350 million. There's also that. And
which is something an agent will never say.
Yeah, right, right. Of course, he's... And listen, the dude, he's got. Carlos probably left there thinking, I think I'm gonna get $400 or $500 million. You know, that's the way
I would have.
That's the way dude blows smoke. And so we'll see. Listen, you gotta have guys out there that you're right. You gotta have at least two teams that are gonna compete for it.
Yeah.
Because and when they know the number is out there. Nobody bid on the number. Pre-lockout, we'll see. There's going to be less time to negotiate. I'm still hopeful that maybe he does a two-year deal here and they overspend for those 2 years and then he comes out again. Because one of the things that, you know, Boris was emphasizing was how young Carlos is. He's at 27 years old. To be out in this free agent market is huge, huge. Because you can get a 10-year deal and still be relatively young and think you're not going to be, you know, too old for that last year of that deal or the last years of the deal. So, you know, maybe 29 is still attractive for Carlos to get out there and still get 7, maybe 8 years at 29 years old.
Just can't see it. So our friend Eric Layden's going to join us. He's in the new season of Ozark, and he'll be on tomorrow because that's when it drops, season 4. But we talked a lot about the Astros last night on the phone and Carlos Correa. And he said, dude, because he lives in La Jolla.
Well, he lives in L.A., yeah.
Yeah, he lives in La Jolla. But he goes, he went to Kincaid, too, though. So I think
they say dude a lot there, too.
But I think what he said is true. This is really, at this point, this is about ego. And so if you do the two-year deal, well, then the next seven-year deal or eight-year deal you do after that probably doesn't get you to $300 million. He wants that three. You got to. It starts with the three.
Well, it absolutely does, especially since 2 years is going to cost whomever a hell of a lot more than the average of what that 10-year deal.
Well, that's
be.
What I mean. You can make more money doing a 2 and an 8.
Yeah,
you can make you could potentially make way more money because the salaries are probably going to continue to be walked up. And if Carlos stays on track, bets on himself, and plays like we think he's capable of playing, he would make more money. He'd make over $350 million.
Right. Yeah.
He'd make over $350 million easily. Yeah. But it's not that. He wants that contract to have a three at the beginning of the dollar side.
Absolutely.
He wants to say dollar three is how it needs to start.
Yeah.
Now, he'd rather it say $3.3 or, more importantly, $3.4.
Yes. Don't forget, 3.41 is out there. That's a number out there. And that's Lindor. And that's something that he aspires to be greater than. I don't know that the market's going to – we'll see. The market has not bidden against itself. And listen, you take out one of the richest guys, the richest guy by far, the Mets owner. After that Lindor deal, he ain't getting involved with Carlos Correa, especially after the way Lindor played last year. And remember, those two had the same, going into last season, had the same exact OPS, career OPS. Carlos and Lindor had the same exact OPS going into last year. And Carlos is ahead of him now because he had a better year than Lindor did. But I'm pretty sure that dude is like, holy crap, what? Lindor, you better start playing. And that might hurt the market a little bit for Carlos, too. Is Lindor is played like that, and everybody's like, wow, am I really going to give a 10-year deal to a guy who's pretty – well, Lindor was thought to be a better shortstop than Carlos Correa. That tide turned, and it turned in a hurry with the year that Carlos had, especially defensively.
I am trying to find – I remember reading a couple of different articles at the time. I'm trying to find them. Where they basically said Carlos Correa's value is not what people think it is because of his injury background, and teams don't view him. They view him as a more volatile long-term purchase. And I think that's true. But that's why Scott Boras is more important than William Morris.
Yes.
For Carlos, because Scott can create value.
Yes.
He can create a straw man and say, hey, look over there. Look at that. You guys hearing what I'm hearing about the Cubs? Yeah. Holy moly. Now, Carlos, ultimately, if he goes to the Cubs, it may be one of the biggest regrets of his life in terms of winning, because I do think he really wants to win. But unfortunately, I think the other teams that could potentially pursue him, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers, they all have money, and they're probably not going to miss the playoffs very often, especially the Yankees and the Dodgers. And that would be our nightmare as Astros fans, but it is what it is. I mean, once you got a high-dollar play, guess what? Any player that leaves the Astros that is considered one of the elite at his position, they could at any point potentially be a Yankee, a Red Sox, or Dodger. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. He would regret, I tell you this.
He could be the Yankees farm team.
He would regret being a Cub because it's going to take them a while to win again. But playing in Chicago, in Wrigley, every day.
Well, he might like all that.
It's a great experience.
But if he's about winning, that might make him sad.
That's going to hurt. That's absolutely going to hurt. 724 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Any thoughts that you've got about Carlos Correa, you're more than welcome to get in here and share them with us. Also,
every day you come in with new information that makes me think. Not makes me think. You come in with new information that. With a new batch of water to pour on the blanket and then throw it on us, on top of us in cold weather. So now, we have wet blanket and cold weather.
How is that?
Wet blanketing our hopes for Carlos Correa. If you have $330 million, lose my number.
Well, that is.
Boras is basically saying.
Oh, really? You don't think Scott Boras is losing every GM's number that doesn't have $330 to spend?
Do you know that Carlos moved here from Puerto Rico very early in his life, and basically this is his hometown?
Yeah, he loves Houston.
There's something called an HD.
Hometown discount.
That's right.
That was under Uncle D.
Oh.
Ain't no more of those.
He invented that.
Yes, he did.
He invented that. Well, where did you go to high school, Carlos? Did you go to Episcopal?
Is there?
No, I went to a school in Puerto Rico.
Is there a
in Puerto Rico? That's an American province.
Is there a
well, you know, it's one of our colonies. Well, it's not a colony, Uncle D. Well, it's
Puerto Rico.
We don't colonize Puerto Rico. We're out of the colonizing business. Well, you know what I mean. What's your staple crops? Okay, it's not the same, Uncle D.
No, it's different.
We're not doing staple crops.
Yeah.
Well, you do staple crops, but we're not discussing that in terms of, you know, are how you define our country. We're not. That's not the way we're behaving.
Right.
Well, it should be. And here's the other thing I'd like for you to consider, Carlos. Have you ever thought about how much $12 million would get you a year? That's a ton of money. That's a lot of lettuce. Have you ever thought about getting a $50 gift card to McLane Groceries and a suite at Baylor?
Well,
you and the wife could drive up there, Daniela. And you and Daniela could drive up and watch Baylor games. Dave Arandas is a guy who came over. Woo! He's a Wisconsin guy. That's not that far away from Puerto Rico. I'd never even been anywhere near there. No. Carlos, you ever talk to John McClane?
He loves Baylor.
Ask him about Baylor. It is a good school, Carlos. I think you would absolutely love
a suite there. Now, I'm not providing you food and drink in a suite. You got to pay for that yourself.
That's what the $50 gift card.
That's what the gift card's for. You can use that either way, either at my grocery store or for my building that they built out and put my name on it.
How about this? Aaron makes a list of all of the sound that we have for the show. Number three is Boris on why he wanted to represent Korea. Let me just answer that one, okay? You don't even have to play it. Money.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
What in the world would it? You know, there's a lot of guys that are going to get paid over $300 million that I don't want to represent. Said Boris never in his life.
Ever. Boy, hey, I'll tell you why he wouldn't want. If Carlos was a $1 million a year player, then he wouldn't want. Yeah, I can't see me representing Carlos. But at, you know, $30 million a year, I kind of want to do that. That was a simple soundbite. Money.
Is he still representing Keuchel?
I don't know after what happened with Keuchel.
He might have gone, hey, Keuchel, you're not worth the money I thought you were. Get out of here. Yeah. Go find somebody else.
Well, he overplayed that Keuchel hand, and Keuchel really got hurt by Boris. He's not the only one. Who was the Astros catcher that really got hurt by Boris that had to sign?
It was Machete.
No, it wasn't Machete. It was... it wasn't Machete.
Yeah, it was.
He went to Kansas. He ended up in Kansas City.
Oh, another Latin catcher?
Yeah, Latin catcher that ended up in Kansas City. It was a couple of years ago, maybe in
2017.
17, yeah. Yeah, I think it was 17. And he.
Oh, yeah.
I forget who it was. Anybody on Twitter, if you guys. But he got destroyed. When
who was that? Yeah, he fired him.
The Astros offered him 15 and over 3 years or something, and he ended up playing for two for one. It was a disaster.
This is killing me.
Scott Boris every once in a while makes a mistake, and
it's not often, but yeah. I mean, he's not, he doesn't often make them. Let's see, Juan Centeno.
No. Well, anyway, whatever the case may be. When we come back, a former Texan got in the Texans, a booty yesterday. That's what he did. Ooh. And we'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about them wings at Jack's, though?
Oh, my gosh. They're so good. Snacks, always. It's like that's his spot. For his birthday, it's an easy call. I know exactly what he wants. For lunch, for dinner, he wants steaks from Pete's. And for lunch, he wants the Jack's wings. And it happens in the summer, so we can go there. We can eat there. Last year, we ate there. The year before, we brought them home with Grandpa Hector came with us. And it's just, pre-pandemic. But that's been his go-to for three straight birthdays. Once he had Jack's Grill for the first time, he loved it. His first time, he had some queso and some burgers. The second time was wings. And once he had the wings, he's been locked into the wings. And that's the kind of food I'm talking about. The good old-fashioned comfort food, the quesadillas, the burgers, 100% all-natural, real beef patties. You are getting the wings that are made just the way you like them, a variety of different types of sauces and flavors. Jack's Ritas, so, of course, you got to have your margaritas. And this is a great spot in any of the locations. There's three in Houston for you to go with your family and enjoy some great food and hang out, let the kids have their fun, watch games on the TV screens, and enjoy all that they have to offer, including some delicious desserts. So check them out for yourself. Go to jacksgrillhouston.com, jacksgrillhouston.com, and stop in. Whether it's for lunch or for dinner, you're going to enjoy the food and love the atmosphere at Jack's Grill.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:33. It was Machete. The Astros offered him 2 years, $12 million, and he ended up with going to the Royals for less than a couple million, right?
Or I think it was like $3 million or
something. $3 million in that neighborhood, whatever it was. So it was Machete, and then Machete ends up back here, and everybody is happy again, is once again happy. He had to fire Boris and go with MVP or something. Anyway, so That was the case. The Texans are going to interview Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator. Interesting that they're still playing hold on Gerard Mayo. It'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know, he even gets an interview, because if another team scoops him up, the Texans' little game here, I think, is probably going to backfire on him. Is there any chance that the Texans right now are, I mean, we see them, I think they're trying to make it appear like we're not New England South. Look at all these guys that we're interviewing, everybody. Okay, so you can stop with the New England South stuff. I thought the New England was the huge favorite, and you know, like 1-9 that they were going to get a guy from New England. You think there's a better odds now that it could be somebody outside of New England?
I mean, it feels that way just because they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Maybe we overblow the New England thing. I don't think we do. I think the culture is never going to change. Nick Caserio wants the same culture that he had in New England. One big voice, one guy overseeing the whole thing, very powerful. And then everyone else taking on the us against the world mentality. Don't let anything outside of the building. Keep a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. Be quiet, work hard, work long. I mean, there's a lot of things, traits that are very admirable, by the way. I don't want it to sound like it's just some sneaky, like this is House of Cards with Francis, whatever his name, and it's just, you know, a bunch of sneaky, crazy, weird stuff. This is, the Patriot Way is also about being smart, out-preparing, pushing it directly all the way to the envelope as far as you can go, and in some cases, passing that line. As New England has done with Deflategate, with the ball, you know, with the deflate stuff, with the filming the sideline illegally, the filming the sideline illegally again against the Bengals, like they go beyond what is legal.
Yeah.
They go because they want to win so badly. They want intelligent players at certain positions, highly intelligent players, and they want to outwork you. Like you're not allowed to not work. You got to put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. So there's some admirable stuff too. They just, you know, well, it's just very us against the world. Just know this: when you're cheering for the Texans, they're not really going to be cheering for you.
Unfortunately, you come out of there as
if you know what I mean.
There has been very little success outside of, but with all of these guys that leave, because they learn from Belichick, who's a masshole, and it doesn't work other places without Tom Brady. It hasn't worked. It just has not worked with Brian Flores. It's worked. To a degree, it
everyone
definitely
buys
worked,
in, though.
But is that the guy that you want? Is that the kind of situation you want once again? A Bill O'Brien type situation? I think not. So, you know, unless you change your ways. Now, listen, Kevin O'Connell has Patriot ties. He was a third round pick of the Patriots back in 2008.
I wrote him up. He was at the, I was here at the East West Shrine practices. And Kevin O'Connell is one of the quarterbacks who is working. Now, he's not one of those types of guys, by the way, unless he's changed. He did not have a reputation for being a rough, haggard guy.
Well, he's been around the league now since then. He's moved to a few places, probably learned how to act.
I talked to him at Senior Bowl one year. But he is, he's a little different. I don't expect him to have much of a chance, but we will see. I still think Mayo is going to come in. In about a week, you'll hear his name.
Yeah, probably.
Less than a week.
Probably.
I think by the time we hit the weekend, you'll start to hear Gerard Mayo. The Texans have officially requested permission to interview Gerard Mayo, or whatever verbiage is going to come out. I think it will come out. It wouldn't make any sense not to interview him.
No.
Unless you're just trying to make a point. And that's not what you should be doing. So, the Patriot Way is going to be a very guarded. And what I said, you may be cheering for the Texans. They're not cheering for you. I just mean, they are doing it for themselves and their building. They're not doing it for the city. It's not going to be one of those things. Mm-hmm. It's the Patriot Way is very much like, well, you can cheer us. It's like Nick Saban. It's the same thing. You can cheer for us, but don't have certain expectations that we have to do anything for you. We love each other and we're doing it for each other and we're gonna. But not like Astros wise, like hugging and stuff like that. Just handshakes. Like, well, the Texans are going to be very much
during these COVID times,
a fist bump and a handshake team. They're not going to be hugs, dances, you know, where guys in the, you know, you do this.
Oh, no.
and you do your bow and arrow stuff, or you stare at a camera.
Guys doing like, the worm yeah, on the yeah, ground. Yeah.
It's not going to be even Hank Conger. It's going to be just a firm handshake. How you doing?
Not,
doing well. Yes. You know, it's going to be one of those things.
Yeah.
Very
not an end zone celebration.
No, it's much going to be much more classic. Yeah, much more classic Western European type of, well, hello, a little more guarded, like something kind of British.
As opposed to the clown show that it is now, according to Charles Menehue, who had a sack and a half last week. Yeah. Had a sack and a half.
He's got some talent to
work
with.
No, he does have some talent. But when asked about the differences between the Texans and the 49ers, here's what he had to say.
Charles, what's the biggest difference between, whatever, I guess, just kind of pops to your mind, but with the two organizations, you know, Houston and the 49ers, what's the biggest difference you found with the 49ers?
A lot more structure. The leadership between the coach and the GM, it doesn't seem like it's a power struggle. It's very like they're on the same page. They have an understanding of what they want. They make it very clear of what they want from GM to head coach, from head coach to the position coaches. And it's not a circus show here. You guys definitely have things down packed, and you know what you want at the players. The coaches know the expectations, and it's sought out and said. And it's not a lot of switching guys from being a starter, not being a starter. Like, I mean, you understand what you're doing here and you just get it done.
Well, maybe you go from starter to not starter because you're not handling your business.
Yeah.
And because people are trying to hold you accountable too. Here's the thing. When you go to a good team from a bad team, you tend to fall in line with whatever the good team does. And
well, there's a reason that it's a good team too. And we know that it is it's been a bit of a circus here. A lot of power struggle. It's been a lot of backstabbing.
Not between David Culley and there's been no power.
You don't know that. Apparently that might be what he's referring to. By the way, David Culley just got fired because they didn't have the same philosophy.
Well, they got power struggles, a bit of a strong word. There was no struggle in power. It's Nick Caserio, and that's it.
Well, and maybe Culley was pushing back.
What, did David not want to have to do everything that the GM says on his headset?
Well, so we never talked about this. Did David Culley really get fired because he wouldn't fire Tim Kelly? Do you think he lost his job because he just wouldn't fire Tim Kelly? Or maybe he was pushing back on a lot of the stuff that Nick Caserio was doing.
Well, not that is pushing back. The Tim Kelly thing would be pushing back.
The Tim Kelly one is one. But you mean he stood on that wall and he refused?
That's not what I call a power struggle.
And he lost his job over Tim Kelly?
That's not a power struggle. These are basic. I mean, that's not a power struggle. Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith was a power struggle. That was a power struggle, and he wasn't here for that. Charles Menehue was not drafted during that. That was a legitimate power struggle. This is just David Culley just saying, I don't want to fire Tim Kelly. He's my buddy, and I think he's doing a good job and whatever, if that's how it went down. I don't think he was looking for more quote-unquote power. I mean, this is the biggest go-along to get-along coach that I've ever seen. One of them. So I don't, but regardless, Menehue had talent. From what I understand, he was not always the biggest worker and did not have the focus that he needed to have at all times on the game. I think that's why you want a really strong locker room, a strong leadership, and a strong quote unquote culture. When you have culture like the Niners probably have built, then guys get in line and they do. Now more than ever, young players are their own brands. And now it's going to start happening in high school. They're going to be their own brands, and it's going to be individual. To win at a high level, you have to be able to get guys to buy into a team concept in any sport. And so having the culture in the building that it's about more than just you, it's about what's best for the team to thrive, survive, and succeed so that you all succeed, which should be the goal.
He was here for Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien, but not Rick Smith. And
No.
Bill O'Brien did not have a power struggle with the GM because he was the GM.
Well, correct. Bill O'Brien had a power struggle that he lost to Jack Easterby. That might have been what he was referring to.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and that's backstabbing in a circus and.
Oh, that's a backstabbing circus.
Yeah.
Yeah, make no mistake. And maybe he's referring directly to Bill O'Brien, although Bill wasn't the one who traded him.
No.
Casario traded him. But Casario identified, I think, fairly quickly, probably with the help of Jack. But he identified, okay, these are the guys that really are not going to fit culture. Like, we're trying to have a culture of accountability, of doing what we have to do, when we have to do it, everyone buying in. And here's the guys. Boom. Roby, Aminahu. Who else did they move this year? Or cut? Roby, Aminahu, and who was the other? There's a third player who got cut. Cut or traded. Is it running back? No, well, they... Merciless had to go. Mark Ingram was just a trade. But there was another player. I'll see if I can come up with it. Was it a wide receiver? No, not that I can recall. Oh, Zach Cunningham. Zach was the third one.
Absolutely.
They identified guys that these guys are not, they're not building the building that we, they're not a building blocks in the inside the building that we need for guys to all buy in and do what it takes. And getting to that is very important. That's why I don't really, I won't beat up the phrase culture, because I understand what they're trying to do. And it is very, very important to win a championship to have the right culture. And Nick is going to have to build that. And if you have guys who work counter to that and they have a big voice in the locker room, that's a bad deal.
Well, I could see if you go from here to a team that's winning playoff games and going in to Dallas and winning a game, and then and you came from here, you would think this is a circus and just a clown show.
Oh,
I could see that.
Oh, no,
I could see
that. No, 100%.
So I'm not holding. Now, Charles Aminahu, like you said, probably didn't have the greatest work ethic while he was here. You know what? He was young, immature. Maybe he'll learn while he's there, but he's got a better place to learn. I don't think there's any question about that.
That's
all right. When we come back,
31 teams.
Then when we come back, interesting. The Athletic has its mock draft out.
Dane Brugler had
it. Yeah, Dane Brugler. And we'll talk about where the Texans fall in line there next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's time for me to tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. So a lot of times now, because of the shortages we've had, the supply chain shortage, the cars come in a little bit slower. And so people are going online to LanceZCars.com and finding exactly what they want and getting their hands on it before anyone else. And that's something they can do. They still want to give you great offers. You still have some offers like 0% APR financing on most 2021 and 2022 Chevy vehicles, plus $750 bonus cash for current competitive offers on most of those same vehicles. That's something that they're doing for you right now. GMC has 0% APR for well-qualified buyers on most models. They've got the new Chevy Blazer, which is a really cool SUV. It's certainly different than the Blazer that you used to have. The new offer that they have right now, 0% APR financing for 48 months on this model. Make sure that you go to the website, Lance Z Cars, and find a vehicle you like. The sales, the service, the entire staff is incredible. LanceZCars.com. The trip to Angleton will save you thousands, but you got to start at some point. So do it online today at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:49 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. And the Athletic, Dane Brugler, came out with his mock draft. He's got, it's interesting. He's got Ikem Ekwonu going number one, the offensive tackle out of North Carolina State, going number one overall to the Jacksonville. That is interesting in that he doesn't have, most everybody has Evan Neal as their number one tackle. So he's got, and they definitely need protection. I don't think there's any question about it. The Lions taking Aiden Hutchinson. If Hutchinson, who's right there at Michi, if he falls to the Lions at number two, I don't think there's any question they take. He's got the Texans taking Kayvon Thibodeau. And we see that we'll see what Lance has to say. I don't know where. Here he comes. Lance, Kayvon Thibodeau, you don't have him going to the Texans. You have Evan Neal going to the Texans. What do you think about him, about Brugler having Ikem Ekwonu, number one overall?
Pretty shocking. I don't think it's going to happen, but he's an excellent run blocker. a guy who's incredibly nasty. Like, not nasty trying to show out for tape and trying to – he's nasty and tough and physical and strong, and he has great football character, has played an inside-outside zone scheme stuff, can play gap scheme, so he's scheme-independent. But he is really, to me, he's got some holes in his pass protection that have to be shored up. And to me, you don't draft a tackle unless they are polished. Like, you don't draft the first pick can't be a tackle unless they're really, really polished. And he's not polished yet. So I do see Icky being, his nickname is not actually because his name is Ikem. His nickname Icky comes from, he was a running back in Pee Wee, and his coach thought he was Icky Woods.
Really?
So that's how he got the nickname Icky.
Did you see the Icky Shuffle in Cincinnati this week, man?
Yeah, I did. It's happened a few different times where they busted the Icky Shuffle
out
there.
Well, Icky was there doing it.
Oh, I didn't see Icky doing it.
Yeah, Icky did it.
It's a slower Icky. I saw it a while back where Icky, the shuffle slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
As you would anticipate.
He's bigger than he was.
He is, and he was a big back even then. No, so that was a surprising first pick. I thought he was going to put Evan Neal there, but.
So he's got three tackles. Evan Neal going fifth, and Charles Cross going sixth.
I'll have three in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have three in the top 10 for sure. That doesn't surprise me. The Texans pick I like a lot.
You like Thibodeau?
Actually, no. That's Daniel Jeremiah's. Never mind. DJ gave me a sneak peek of his that's going to be coming out.
Okay.
And I won't give it away, but I like it a lot. The Texans taking Thibodeau, could totally see it. If Thibodeau's there, the question's going to be, does he fit culture? Is he a worker? What do they dig up on him? How does he work? What is he like as a personality? Will he fit into the room that they want to build? Is he someone you build around from an accountability and leadership standpoint? Because you're building from ground. You're at ground floor. You're ground zero. So is he the guy that you want to make your first? Like, the guy that you would love to have is Aiden Hutchinson, because Hutchinson has that insane work ethic, like insane. And he is just all about ball. Like, he loves it. Loves it more than anything in the whole world. I don't think he's J.J. Watt or T.J. or the Bosa brothers, but he's going to be potentially Ryan Kerrigan or Kyle VandenBosch, which were, very good players. Very good players. And he is just a great personality to have in your locker room, because he holds people accountable, and you have to play hard. And you have to work hard in the offseason and during the season. So he's the guy that you would want. That's not always the case with Kayvon Thibodeau, from what scouts have told me. But he's a talented player, and he's got upside. Yeah. Evan Neal, upside. You're going to get a player with some upside, but this draft is like the Quinnen Williams draft. There's just no stars in it. There's just no stars in this year's draft. There may be somebody who pops, who becomes a star.
Hutchinson's got a chance.
Yeah, but I don't see I didn't give a 7-0 to Hutchinson. I gave a 6-8. I mean, Sauce got a chance to be good. I gave him a 6-7. Sauce is 11 holding and pass interference penalties during his career. He basically, if he doesn't like what you're doing, he'll just grab you and throw you to the ground. And they call it only half the time will they even call it. That's what I'm saying. He's got 11 times where they had to call it. Do you know
it
what
makes
they
sense
let you
in college, though, just 15 yards?
Well, plus,
as opposed to a bomb.
But they don't call it in college.
Right.
You can murder people as long as it's. Mm. As long as you don't throw him to the ground, you can do anything you want to a wide receiver, and it doesn't get called.
How about Garrett
it's
Wilson?
Insane.
Has he got a chance to be a star?
No. I think he's got a chance to be really good. Star is tough. Like, he's not – he doesn't have the size / speed, although I feel like
London.
He's fast. Drake London's slow. He's like a slower Michael Pittman. I don't know why Drake London's so high. Like, I've got Drake as a second-round pick.
Really?
He may go in the first, but his draft grade – is a 63 for me, which is going to be eventual starter, has a chance to be a plus starter. A 6.3 is a plus starter, but he can't separate. He doesn't run. He's not going to run well in short area spaces. He's a big, giant receiver. He's a legitimate 6'5". He's got great ball skills. So,
yeah, the games I watch him, he could, I mean, he'd just throw it up and he's going
to
get
it. Throw it up and he's going to go get it.
Yeah.
But he played Pac-12. The games you watched, you could have gotten three catches a game against Pac-12 corners.
Yeah, that's true. He's a Mike Evans. He's a
His comp is Mike Evans and Ed McCaffrey.
That's what I said. I told you that.
That's the dual comp.
So Mel Kiper has, and both of them, Dane Brugler and Mel Kiper, both have Washington 11 with the first quarterback being taken. But Mel Kiper has Malik Willis, and Dane Brugler has Kenny Pickett.
Mel's afraid of that heat. Mel's trying to get some love. Trust me, there's nobody. There's very few teams that are having Malik Willis in the first
round. Here's Mel on taking Malik Willis with the 12th pick.
Talent. He's so gifted, powerful, strong, deceptively. I think defensive lineman, linebackers. I spoke to a linebacker in the SEC, said he was shocked how strong he was in terms of breaking tackles and how fast he was. And, you know, you go back to 2020, he was outstanding. This year, you know, they were outmanned against Ole Miss, so you can't hold that game against them. And he did throw three picks against Middle Tennessee State and Louisiana Monroe. So he made some bad decisions for some things, but that happens when you're with a team, you're trying to make some plays. But I think at the end of the day, talent would win out there.
Interesting. Yeah, he threw three picks against Middle Tennessee, but that's okay. Okay. Was it that something that should, I don't know.
Well, you know what else?
That should worry you?
The Middle Tennessee game was an absolute disaster. He has three different games where he had three interceptions. Malik Willis, his tape, you cannot get to a first-round grade on his tape. It's impossible. What I do like, though, is
Mel is going to be outraged on draft night that Malik Willis has fallen out of the first round.
Yeah. And to me, this doesn't make a lot of sense. when you look at the talent, and the way the kid can run, the potential, the big arm, you know, everyone's afraid of getting beat up by not having Malik. I don't care. Y'all can say what you want. Malik ain't going to be in my first round. Because Malik Willis just doesn't – I can't get there. Like, he has upside. I think he needs to be in a different offense. I think he was in the wrong offense completely. I think he needs to be in an offense like Shanahan's where you run – you know, you run the ball, you run boot action, play action. You set up simplified reads. I think most quarterbacks would benefit from what Shanahan does.
Are you going to comp him with Colin Kaepernick?
Who – well, you know who his comp is. Malik Willis's comp, actually, he's got an arm like Cutler, but his comp is really more, it's like a blend between McNair, Steve McNair, and Jalen. He looks a lot like Jalen Hurts. Physically, the broadness of the shoulders, his physicality, he's a better runner than Jalen. He's faster. Like, he is a really talented physical runner. He's got an arm like, he's got a better arm than Jalen. He's a little more wild than Jalen, actually, as a passer. Some of the stuff is correctable. He has upside, but I think he has to change offenses. You don't want to spread five wide. Apparently, the reads. I talked to somebody who has personal knowledge of this who said they're really weird. Like, Hugh Freeze was really weird about how you read the defense. It's not the way that most people are supposed to get to it. They kind of let you get to things yourself instead of having very firm, hard rules on how – you make your decisions. And the spread offense in college is meant to simplify, but if you don't have it simplified, then it can be very, very – it's a lot to take in when you have five wide receivers unless you have very strong definitive rules. I would put Malik Willis in a levels passing attack like Gary Kubiak ran. Now, a lot of times that's out of the gun now, and you just say, look, we're gonna really let you focus on a single side of the field and create route combinations for you to read – like Joe Burrow had with Joe Brady. That's what Joe Brady had for Joe Burrow. It was different, but he said, we just want you to read this safety. Read this safety corner combination here. Yeah. And Joe could see it quickly. And as soon as the safety showed any inclination to bite down on this route, then the post was coming out. If he saw him backpedal for the post, then the deep dig was coming. Or, you know, or he was gonna throw that hitch route. Like, Malik Willis is one quarterback where his upside is still undetermined to me.
No.
But there are other guys like Carson Strong who have a knee that's just completely wrecked that unfortunately he has maybe the best arm talent in the whole draft. I can't give him a starter's grade because I just don't think he'll stay around long enough to be a long-term starter.
Microfracture? Yeah. That's
multiple microfractures.
That's bad.
One in high school. Not good.
When we come back, where do the Texans stand over the last decade in the NFL? We will talk about that. Ooh, on the other side.
You're not going to like this game.
You're going to be surprised at this game.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be. You're going to be.
No, I'm not the one surprised. I know the answer.
Oh, yeah.
So when we come back, we'll do that. So right now, though, you and I are both talking about Billy and Mary over at Aqueduct Plumbing, and we continue to say that because, well, we really like them, and it's about people. Every business is about people, right? And these guys are just so great. Love, they're really nice people that actually are going to give you a great product, and that's the important thing, is that they're not going to try to upsell you. They're not sending their plumbers out there, and they got a bunch of plumbers that are out there on the road from Beaumont to Katy, from Galveston up past Tomball. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are. If you can hear us, Aqueduct Plumbing will go to you, but they're not going to walk in and go, well, let me see how much I can gouge these people out of. That's not what they do. Hey, you got a job, I'm gonna fix it, we're gonna do it at a fair price.
Yeah. And for those of you who have concerns about whether or not you have leaks under your house, I know I've had it before. You can get hydrostatic testing can check it very, very quickly. If you're worried about something in your pipes, they can take their cameras and get in there as well. But if they do find you have a leak, it's not something that's going to devastate your house if you find it quickly and you get it taken care of, and that's what they can do. They can do entire repiping jobs or repairs in a single day. Make sure that you have this number on standby. Go to the website and get all the information you need, thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.